Among the cinema icons of Hollywood's golden age, few tower over our popular culture quite like Marilyn Monroe. An upcoming performance of a musical play titled With Love, Marilyn will survey some of the blonde actress's memorable screen roles as well as her private love life. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. My guest today is actress Erin Sullivan, star of the one-woman show With Love, Marilyn. Miss Sullivan will be performing her cabaret next Friday and Saturday evening in the historic Rio Grande Theater in Las Cruces, and I'm happy to have her on the program today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Erin, for joining us by phone from Astoria, New York. In a few days, though, you'll be here in Las Cruces preparing and putting on your one-woman show With Love, Marilyn. How long have you been doing this particular version of this Marilyn presentation?
This piece actually debuted last February, so February of 2017. So it's only been a little over a year, so she's fairly fresh.
As was Marilyn.
Yep.
But you began thinking about this character and this show that you're currently performing, working on a different production, I believe, here in Las Cruces with Mark Medoff,
Yeah, it's coming back to the Rio Grande and Las Cruces area. It's kind of a nice homecoming. I started my Maryland journey, if you will, about maybe, gosh, 3-4 years ago. I was selected by your very own local brilliant genius, Mr. Mark Medoff, to develop a new play he'd written in which I portrayed. I was lucky to be selected by Mark to portray Marilyn. And, I actually spent quite a bit of time. We developed the show out in Las Cruces, and we performed for a week at the Rio Grande. And from then, from my experience with Mark and the amount of research that I had to do on this woman's life through Mark's piece, it kind of inspired me, you know, as it's a very long journey to the Broadway stage and development of pieces and plays. So I kind of was inspired by continuing to want to tell her story just in a bit more of an intimate fashion, using the skill set and the knowledge that I had absorbed during Mark's production, so that I created my own little piece. So I keep the ball rolling a bit.
And what was the Medoff production you did?
It's called Marilyn and Baby Lamb, The Assassination of an American Goddess.
Ah, so some of our listeners may have seen you in that already.
Yeah, we ran for a week in October of, 2015, maybe? Might be 15 or 16. All the years start to run together.
Sure. So tell us about With Love, Marilyn, though. You helped originate this show?
I actually, the concept was co-conceived and I co-wrote it because a lot of the, I wanted to pay tribute to her and, the honor behind her, because she's such an icon and still to this day is so relevant in society in so many ways now. And a lot of stuff, it's really tricky. A lot of, there's a new Marilyn show actually in Vegas right now, and there's stuff, Smash, and there's all these different entities in which people want to still tell her story. But I knew with mine, because I was so fascinated by the darker side of her life, mm-hmm. and the loss and the tragedy, and ultimately, what drove her to the point in which we did lose her so young. I wanted to incorporate the remembering her, but also to tell the facts in which you knew really kind of behind the scenes about it.
So what time period are you in the play?
Our timeline is kind of June, July of 62. So this would have been only a few weeks prior to where her death would have been.
Okay.
And
you're sort of looking back over
memories? The final dress rehearsal of a show you never got to see her do.
Ah, so it's kind of a behind the scenes of putting on a show type.
Because the idea came from me. I worked very closely with Samantha McLaughlin, who is the co-founder of the All About Marilyn organization out in L.A., which is the longest-running fan-based group. And Sam worked very closely with checking all the facts and making sure my timeline was all correct, and she was very insightful and helpful with Medoff's work as well for me. But Sam had said to me one day that Marilyn was in talks about doing her own show in Vegas, that she was really, she'd only performed live twice in her entire career. One was for Mr. John Kennedy, and right. the other was when she sang for the troops in Korea. And I thought, wow, oh my gosh, what if my show was a show that no one ever got to see her do?
Right, so
that's
then you
kind
got
of
to
how that
envision
all
what that might be.
Yeah, and that's what, the interior, I chose a final dress rehearsal so that it gives me the freedom as the actor to go back and forth between the person and the persona. So I give you the full Marilyn, but then I give you also to the act that you know, the general public always saw, I give you the Norma Jean, the behind closed doors, which is what I excelled in Medoff's work. So I wanted to incorporate those two things, so you not only heard the good stuff, but then you started to hear some of the sadder, gory details behind, you know, her sadness.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who aren't film scholars or cinephiles, but almost everyone can recognize Marilyn Monroe and probably have seen clips from some of our iconic films. And, you know, I think we often fall into the trap of thinking that's who these people were in real life, and that was perhaps really far from the truth with Marilyn Monroe.
I mean, just actresses in general in that area. I mean, Judy Garland, like, mm-hmm. I mean, they all were just so owned by the studios and kind of manipulated, and there's just, you know, as glamorous as I think that era was, especially, you know, for women, it was really, really challenging because they owned you.
This, I should mention, is also a fundraiser for the new Borderlands Film Festival in Las Cruces that will be kicking off later this year. And tickets and info on the play are available through their website at borderlandsfilmfestival.org. This sounds like it's probably a show that's very accessible. It's not just geared towards people who love Marilyn Monroe and know a lot about her, but also people who maybe just know the surface Marilyn Monroe and don't have to come fully educated in who she was. You're going to do that and take them through it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I touch on all, like, you know, a lot of the general information, but within the script, I've laid a lot of quotes, personal quotes of hers, and even still with the help of Sam, really laid in, like, some really good stories that I didn't even know, and unless you're a diehard Marilyn guru, there's still some little gems that, you know, if you don't know much about her life, you're going to feel educated, and if you do know a lot about her life, you're going to go, wow, that was a nice reminder, wow, I didn't know that, so I really worked really hard on with my co-writer to really give a lot of dimension to the script. So there's definitely I wanted to educate. You know, not only did I want to entertain and everyone have a really good time and celebrate her with me, I wanted to you know, educate the audience at the same time too.
Your press release mentions a number of songs that you're going to sing. Mm-hmm. So this is truly a cabaret in a way.
When we sat down and we knew, because my background is I'm a musical theater performer first, so we knew that I wanted to, and with Mark's play, it was just very, very heavy acting, and I wanted to incorporate all of her card catalog. So I sat down and I really looked at all the songs that she'd sang in either in films or things that she just did as obscure recordings, and what I did is I married all of these songs into what would be her show within the show, and that's where it comes into it's a tribute that she's giving to the people in her life, to, you know, her first husband and DiMaggio and the studios and her fans. So I've woven all the songs into storylines.
And one of my favorite diamonds are A Girl's Best Friend.
Always.
From
Always.
Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Always. Such an incredible song. So much fun to perform. Oh, absolutely.
I think that was the first time I saw her in a film was Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, the Howard Hawks film with Jane Russell. Do you remember the first time, maybe growing up or later in life, that you came across Marilyn Monroe?
I always knew who she was growing up. You know, I started doing theater when I was 7, so I was pretty exposed to a lot of, you know, the icons. I always actually was more of an Elvis fan when I was a little girl. But when I started, you know, going into my adolescence and I started portraying a lot of the dumb blondes and the sex pots in my musical theater repertoire, is when I really started being, like, a little bit compared. And people are like, oh, you have such a Marilyn quality to you. And I'd be like, oh, okay. It wasn't until probably my early 20s I actually saw Some Like It Hot, and that's the film that blew me away.
Of course.
I was like, you know, I'm a comedic actress, and I just was, oh, I was just mesmerized by her comedic timing and her, just how she lit up a screen.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was like, okay, and I was always fascinated, and I followed a lot of her. I'm still dying to do Bus Stop. Anybody wants to direct that out there? But, and that's kind of, you know, I always related to her in many ways, and I think with me being on stage, and one of the reasons I was able to book Mark's Marilyn is just because I've always been very comfortable in my sexuality and with my body on stage, and she was fearless.
Right.
And that's been always really complimentary that people have said, yeah, you exude the same, a lot of the natural, sexual energy that she has that she would, you know, bring to the screen.
Which was really literally burst on the screen in the 50s. Things were beginning to loosen, and she was a wholly different kind of female character and an actress, and perfectly aligned with the times that she emerged.
Absolutely.
There's, I guess, a great responsibility when you portray someone as recognizable as Marilyn Monroe. Is it more challenging, say, than originating a wholly fictional character, to have to play someone who existed and people think they're so familiar with?
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredibly daunting task. Sometimes I'm like, "What? You're crazy to even take this on." It's definitely, and I like to be very clear too with everybody, and very honest with everybody, that I'm not an impersonator. There's
good.
Some world class impersonators out there, and I'm not. I'm an actor, and I just work really hard to embody a lot of the characteristics that she portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't exactly look like her. I don't exactly, like, you know, I don't have some of the aesthetics. I'm like, I haven't had, you know, any type of facial surgery. I haven't had, like, any ribs removed or anything.
Right.
So you have a 24-inch waist. But I spent a lot of time just with some of her, like, her speech pattern and her vocal placement and what she sounded like on screen, to then listening to really raw interviews where her voice is naturally really low. Her voice, actually, speaking voice, is very similar to mine, where it sits timbre-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And to, like, just little bits of movement and choreographies, little twerks that she had, that I try to then embrace and bring into my performance. That, those are the things that I try to really emulate, because I am, I'm not an impersonator. I merely just want to do her justice.
She died in 1962, as you mentioned earlier. I think it was August of 62. That's almost 56 years ago. And had a fairly remarkable short career. I mean, barely a decade in major work. Looking back on that, and with all the time you've studied her life and the legend, what do you think that made her such an indelible pop figure that we just literally globally recognizable still today?
I mean, I think not only she took a chance. She kind of, the studios helped create her, but she embraced it as well, and she used it as a marketing tool. She was an incredibly smart woman. Incredibly smart woman. And I mean, to the point where she wanted to be taken more seriously, because here she's developed this persona, you know, that they kind of forced her into a little bit. And she took it and ran with it, but then she's like, okay, you know, I can just do more than that. And they're like, but no, you're not going to. And she's like, but yes, I am. And I think that a lot of the image that she created was, unfortunately, some of her downfall, you know, where it started to become the blurred lines of, like, who she really was and who she always was, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the fact that she formed her own production company so she could be taken seriously, I think her untimely death, she just got wrapped up in just a giant storm. And, you know, it's a lot to handle. And I think what still keeps her alive is because not only did she revolutionize a type and a strength for women in that decade, and she was a talent and a gift, that her death is still questionable. You know, everybody likes a conspiracy theory. Everyone likes an unsolved mystery.
Right.
And I think that also, too, plays into the point of to why there was such tragedy, because it's still a little shady. You know?
And she also intersected in her love life a lot of the, she covered a lot of areas, the cultural, the artistic, the political, the sports with Joe DiMaggio, Arthur
she
Miller.
She was all over the map.
Right.
She loved fascinating men, from, like, Joe to Arthur Miller to, like, you know, she was very, very attracted to intellect and just different, you know, different types of cultured men in different ways.
Sounds like you're going to have your feet firmly planted on both sides, both the public and the private life of Marilyn Monroe. I'm excited to see how this goes, and I'm hoping to run up to Las Cruces myself.
Yeah, please come join me. I would love to have you.
Thank you so much for joining us, and happy travels down here.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing everybody.
My guest today has been actress Erin Sullivan. Sullivan will be in Las Cruces later this week to perform her one-woman show, With Love, Marilyn, at the historic Rio Grande Theater. With Love, Marilyn surveys some of Marilyn Monroe's musical and film performances and delves into her private life as well. With Love, Marilyn is a fundraiser for the newly launched Borderlands Film Festival, and tickets are available for Friday, June 1st and Saturday, June 2nd. You can reserve seats and purchase tickets and find out more about Borderlands Film Festival at their website, borderlandsfilmfestival.org. On Film's producer is Lauren Terrazas. Thanks to Dennis Wu for engineering today's show. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.